here at Bristol Doctor's.
Right.
Well, Jim, I mustn't keep you.
Oh, she's 10 minutes early, Isabel. And Christopher's easy to examine after he's cooled it.
What a wonderful profession.
If you like irritable children and worried young mothers.
Oh, dear.
I do. But we were talking about Kate.
Well, I'll make it brief. Kate just isn't herself these days.
Well, Arthur died only a week ago. And she was a devoted daughter-in-law.
Devoted? If I hear that word again... You know, Arthur was ailing and difficult, and Kate did her duty, and now she's free. Well, she just isn't reacting the way I thought.
Well, what did you expect?
I thought she'd be rather lost. But she said this morning, in the nicest way possible, that if one more person advised her what to do now, she'd rocket into space.
Good for her. She's got hidden fires, that girl.
I'm beginning to see that. Well, I guess I haven't been around long enough to really know Kate.
We have to get off her back. Leave her alone for a while.
That's just what I hoped you'd say. Of course, Joy would feel the same way.
Oh, I'm beginning to see.
No, don't mistake me, Jim. I like your wife. Joy's a fine girl.
But she is Kate's older sister.
And I think she's putting a little too much pressure on Kate right now.
It could be. I'll get the message through. I may be the last American male to say this, but I still get a word in at home.
Oh.
Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
The following is a paid dramatization.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair, me with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Joey, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the coffee's starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalnet. Finalnet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalnet holds up longer than you do.
The last house I want to look at this afternoon. Thanks for coming with me, Kate.
Oh, I wouldn't have missed it.
A real busman's holiday. The office is closed out of respect to Arthur Wakefield, and we go looking at houses.
But this is different, a house for you and Chuck and the baby.
Mm. And every place I see makes our little apartment look better. Let's lock up.
Hmm. I feel just the opposite. Other people's houses take my mind off my own.
Oh? Is it that bad?
No, not really, but... Pat, there are 17 rooms in the Wakefield house, and I don't feel as if I belonged in one of them.
It's not your home.
I don't even want to think about a home right now.
Maybe you're luckier than you know.
Oh, I don't feel sorry for myself, Pat.
You never have, Kate. But you know where you are at this moment?
Where?
You're starting where a lot of women would like to end up.
What do you mean?
You could be the liberated woman.
Me? I wouldn't know where to begin. Let's go over to Joe's place for coffee.
I've got a better idea, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new Chinese place the other side of the shopping center.
Egg roll at 3 p.m?
Well, you won't see the same old ketchup bottle.
I'm for that. You know, I love this town, but... I'm not sure I can take it much longer.
Cool, dark, and almost empty.
Great. And a menu I could eat through.
You don't get fat on Chinese food.
I get fat looking at the print. Okay. Tea, fortune cookies, and a side dish of willpower.
I'll have the same.
Go ahead, eat. Enjoy yourself. In fact, you look as if you need...
Oh, Pat. You're not going to tell me what I need, are you?
I just meant you look thin.
Sorry.
You want to talk about it?
About what?
What's bugging you? Or can I guess?
Nothing. Oh, it's everything. All of a sudden, everybody's telling me what I ought to do.
Oh, how old do they think you are?
It seems that a girl alone, even if she's past 25, worries everybody. Isabel, bless her, keeps reminding me I'm young and free, as if I should, I don't know, dash off to Paris or someplace.
And dash back?
Probably. And my sister Joy, at 38, she has 3 children, a great husband, and thinks I should have the same.
Has she a guy picked out?
Oh, Pat, can't you guess?
What do you want to do, Kate?
I don't know. I left college to get married. I haven't any real training or any special talent. I don't know what I could do.
Oh, Kate, you could do anything you want.
Why, Kate? Hello, Joy.
Well, hi, Pat.
Hi.
Kate, of all places to find you.
Well, the office is closed. We're having a fortune cookie fling.
Well, I stopped in for a take-home of spare ribs for the children's picnic. I phoned Isabel, Kate, to tell her that I want you for dinner tonight. She said you were going to be home, so we'll expect you at 7, right?
Right.
Pat, dear, you're looking so well.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Why did you give in, Kate?
Joy means well. But it may be for the last time.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
Jim, don't start the drinks yet.
Oh, just getting the fixings ready. I thought Kate was here.
Well, she's out in the back with Keith. I don't know how she gets along so well with that boy.
Because she doesn't live with him.
Oh, he's not that bad.
I've seen him reduce you to a quivering pulp.
Oh, you know, Jim, I had an idea about Kate.
What kind of idea?
Well, now that she is alone and she hasn't remarried...
Joy, honey, do me a favor.
Oh, sure.
Let's not do any more talking or thinking about what Kate might do or should do, shall we?
That's a funny thing to say about my little sister.
Oh, she's no kid. She has a mind of her own.
She's not using it. You know where I met her at 3:00 this afternoon? Sitting in that new Chinese restaurant with Pat, doing absolutely nothing.
I'm glad to hear it.
Well, I call it drifting. It's different for Pat. For Kate?
You mean, it would be all right if she were pregnant.
Well, I wish you were. I mean, married, of course, and settled. Well, she could be, you know.
No, I didn't.
Jim, what's gotten into you tonight? And she could pick David Sloan off the tree like an overripe apple.
Joy, isn't that up to her?
Sometimes those things need a little prodding.
Look what Keith gave me.
Oh, let me see, Kate.
I can't open my hand or it'll jump out.
And that's our boy.
Oh, it's a tiny little tree toad.
Hey, you don't have to.
But he's darling.
Here, I'll take it.
He goes back in the tree, Keith, and I agree.
Oh, that's a deal.
Okay. Tell Keith he's made my day.
You've made his.
Oh, I'd better wash my hands.
Joy, your kids are great. You should have them, Kate. You're a natural mother.
Maybe.
But the years don't wait.
Let me work things out. Will you, Joy?
Now, how about some drinks?
Oh, not yet, please. I have the salad to make and plates to get out. We're having cold salmon buffet.
Pretty fancy for the family.
You and Kate go out on the terrace, will you?
Kate, don't let Joy get to you.
I try not to, Jim.
I had a little talk with her this evening.
About what?
About you.
Oh, please, am I becoming an issue now?
No. I just told her that we should leave you alone.
Oh, thank you. I hope you didn't hurt her feelings.
Well, I didn't want to. She believes in things so intensely. That's what makes her a great gal. But, you know, I'm not sure she even heard me.
Oh, she's like Mom. She wants everybody settled, living happily ever after.
Mm-hmm. Everybody she loves. You, our own children. I just wanted to ask you, be patient.
Oh, you don't have to ask me that.
And now, I'll give you some advice of my own.
Oh, no.
Disappear.
That I could do.
Oh, I guess that's for one of the kids.
Come in. They're out on the terrace. I'm so glad I got you. Come out here, David, and make a foursome. Here's David, Kate.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by the Oceder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This is the Serial Network. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray for application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from 2 personal formulas. Shampoo formula or conditioning formula is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra Rich Cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Ladies, good day. And on this day, you will make the acquaintance of Lieutenant George Osborne of His Majesty's 5th Regiment. As author of Vanity Fair, I may tell you in confidence that George will figure prominently in our story. Now, what shall I say of him? As a writer must move with caution when describing a character for the first time. Don't choose adjectives with care, lest the reader, in this case the listener, be misled. George Osborne. He is... I have it. George Osborne is a golden young man. No, that's an overstatement. Some other writer has said, John Dryden, is it? All that glitters is not gold. Ladies, may I invoke an author's privilege and revise? George Osborne glitters. Oh, that phrase suits him better. Yes, now we can get on. We'll next hear of George from Becky Sharp as she chatters with her dear Amelia, who this morning slept late and only now begins her breakfast.
Emmy, I have something of enormous importance to say to you.
Becky,
Is something amiss?
You must judge for yourself.
Oh, I knew I shouldn't have slept late. Did Mama say something dreadful? Oh, dear, Becky, she doesn't mean half she says. She only talks to talk. Truly, she does. You're not to pay any attention to the way she... Oh, gracious. I sound like Mama myself.
And if I were your papa, I'd have stopped you. Oh, how clever he is. What a dear man. I feel he's my true friend.
Please, never mind about Papa. The important something you haven't told me.
But I did tell you.
Why, you told me nothing.
Oh, you are like your mother this morning. You didn't listen, so you didn't hear.
What didn't I hear?
I said your papa is terribly clever, is a dear man, and I feel he's truly my friend.
You've been teasing me all the while, pretending it was something terribly important.
Oh, sweet Emmy, it is, and I mean it. I do adore him.
So do I. Joseph is Mama's darling, I'm Papa's. This kidney pie is all cold and the crust is all soggy. Well, never mind, the kippers are lovely. I adore kippers, don't you?
It's your Papa I adore, and why don't you ask me why?
Well, you told me. You said you think he's clever.
Will you please ask me why I think it?
Why do you think it?
Ah, because he's arranging for us to go to the Royal Gardens tonight.
Oh, lovely. If it doesn't rain.
And now I'll tell you how clever he is. He guessed how fond I am of your dear brother. And he approved. And
oh, I knew he would.
He wants Joseph and me to be together in that beautiful romantic place where he'll surely ask me for my hand.
If he does,
well, wait, there's more. Your papa thought of everything. You're to be alone, of course, but then Joseph and I can't be alone. So dear Mr. Sedley is arranging for George to go along as well.
Oh, Papa is clever. George?
George Osborne. Don't you even remember him?
Oh, yes. Papa's godson. Thin as a poker, with spots on his face. I haven't seen him for ages.
Yes, I know. He's been off with his regiment and you off at school.
Well, what makes Papa think George will come with us? With me, I mean. He'll remember I was a terribly roly-poly little beast.
Oh. Well, I don't know why he thinks it. He just said he'd send round a note. He seemed very sure, Emmy. Oh, dear, what if George won't go?
In the barracks of the 5th Regiment, glittering Lieutenant... No, I don't care for that phrase, overdone. One thinks of gilded statues in Hyde Park. Yes, you'll excuse me, ladies, if I continue revising. The writer has good days and bad.
Yes.
In the barracks of the 5th, handsome Lieutenant Osborne, that's better, has just received a chip dropped round by Mr. Sedley's butler.
What's this now? I expect Mr. Sed feels I ought to pay my respects now I'm back from... my dear godson, oblige me by calling round at Russell Square today at your earliest convenience. My daughter is finished with school and about to enter society. Come and see what Miss Pinkerton's academy has wrought. Your devoted godparent, J. Sedley. Oh, Mother's been twittering about Amelia Sedley and now Mr. Sed. Both families at it, huh? A marriage has been arranged. Sir and Madam, I regret to inform you that as a young female person in Brighton who... My word, I remember Amelia. Plain as paper... Round as an orange, whilst the lady in Brighton... Oh, dammy, I'll not be outmaneuvered by... Well, Lieutenant, halt. Mr. Sed is my godparent. Takes pains to remind me, too. Your devoted godparent. I wouldn't like to forfeit all those presents. Christmas, birthdays. Oh, blast. I'm bound to show up on his doorstep, pay respects. But that is all. Amelia's not my cup of tea. My cup runneth over in Brighton.
Ah, the trials of an author are endless. Once again, revisions. Ignore what I said earlier. George is not gold, not glittering. He's handsome, I'll give him that much. No more. You see, ladies, an author's characters very often behave in this troublesome manner. They refuse to act as the writer intended. Well, I shall try to get George back in line. You'll pardon me briefly while I sort this out.
Hello,
ladies, I believe I now have young George well in hand, by the scruff, so to speak. He stands at the door of the Sedley townhouse, resplendent in his red and white uniform. He has rung the bell. Amelia herself opens it. I know butlers open doors, but it serves my purpose to have Amelia open it. What is this silence? Amelia and George know full well they're meant to say, yet refuse to follow my bidding as if I am of no importance here. I predicted George would figure prominently in this novel, but it's my privilege to eliminate him altogether, and I shall do exact... Wait. Those two are gazing at one another in the most extraordinary fashion. I do believe it. Listen.
George?
Amelia.
Come, speak up. It is a splendid beginning. George, tell her she's pretty as a rose tree in summertime. Amelia, tell him he is golden, all a glitter with gold braid and...
I'm...
Well? Oh, dear, I didn't plan it thus, ladies. However, on the other hand, come to think of it, my plan may not be the best, and my characters have told me so. I had foreseen a slow, sedate courtship, but Emmy and George have seized the bit and bridle and, bless my soul, fallen in love at first sight. At least I think so. What do you think, dear listeners? Well, tomorrow we shall find out. Your faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Farrell. To know you're the best you can be. This is the Serial Network. Nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Final Net, gives your hair a great long-lasting hold.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, ban roll-on antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that ban roll-on antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of ban roll-on, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban roll-on antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Have you any idea how exasperating it is for a man to call home and keep getting nothing but a busy signal? Busy all day long? Now, don't tell me you haven't been on the phone.
I have been on the phone all day long.
Well, who in the Sam Hill you been talking to? I've tried to call you. I've had my secretary try to call you every 5 minutes and nothing but Finally, I decided something must be wrong, so I left the office early. Well, is anything wrong? Hey, have you been crying?
I guess so. I guess I've been crying and screaming and yelling. I really don't know. I'm in a very bad humor, so the best thing for you to do is just leave me alone.
Well, why, honey? Leave What's the alone. Matter?
Well, I don't know. Well, yes, I do know. I just cannot cope with this computer age.
Well, you're not doing any commuting.
Computer age.
Oh, computer.
Well, what now?
Come on. Tell me about it.
Boy,
you are upset.
This is the first time
I've ever seen you in the middle of the afternoon with your hair and curlers still in your house coat and the breakfast dishes not done.
I started early. I said, well, I'll just, you know, write a few checks and pay some bills and dry my hair and get dressed and do some shopping. I've done nothing. I've done absolutely nothing all day long but try to cope.
Now. Things are never as bad as they seem.
Oh, that's what you think. When you're dealing with mistakes made by computers, things are far worse than they seem.
Yeah, I guess that's true. For what now?
Several things, and I finally decided I would just get to the bottom of this pile of stuff. For weeks and months, I've written letters to these people. I've gotten exactly nowhere. Just
what
nowhere.
People?
You really want to know?
Yeah, certainly.
All right, I tell you, I hate credit cards, so I just want to...
Control yourself. Now, calm down.
On one of your gas credit cards for 8 months now, they have given us a credit of $15.68, which we don't deserve.
Well, don't knock it. That's better than being charged.
But it should work both ways. I don't want money we're not entitled to, and I've written them each month, and I said a mistake was made. They just ignore it. Your other gasoline credit card has overcharged us for 6 months. Yes, here it is. Overcharged for 6 months and keeps adding finance charges, which I do not intend to pay.
Let me see it.
Oh, right here.
Yeah, where are they?
Right here, see. I tell you, I've written letters until I'm blue in the face today. I just had it.
Yeah, I can see that, dear.
Or not. I thought, well, I don't care what it costs. I'm going to call these people long distance, talk to somebody, and get all these things straightened out.
Well, how'd you make out?
Don't
get all choked up. Not trying to tell me.
Well, they're all going to get back to me, was the way they put it.
Well, that's something.
Not one of them wanted to know our name or address. Just our code number. I find myself at one point saying, well, this is Mrs. 304-792 or something like that.
I know. We're all numbers these days. It's the computers, honey.
I know. And look at our latest phone bill. Came today. Look under previous balance, right there.
Oh, $13.98. Well, what's that for?
How can you even ask after 8 months of it?
They're still charging us for a collect call from Cuba?
Yes. I've been on the phone to their business office exactly 6 times with them today. I kept being put through to different people, explaining all over again. Finally, I got a Miss Kimball, who was very nice. She is checking and rechecking with their overseas department and will call me back.
Well, at long last, you got somebody who's taking care of it.
You want to bet?
Look. Hey, you're all worn out. You're tired. You want me to get it?
No. It's one of 4 or 5 people calling back. I better talk to them. Oh, it may be the dry cleaners who have no idea what has happened to your brown suit. Hello.
What do you mean, what's happened to my brown suit?
Yes, it is 8702.
What has happened to my brown suit? I just bought that.
It's the phone company. Hello? What do you mean, what seems to be the problem? Now, I explained it all for the umpteenth time in 8 months to a Miss Kimball, Hello. Am I talking to a computer or is this a human being? A human being, fine. A Mr. Dooley.
I just bought that brown suit.
Well, now, Mr. Dooley, this is July, right? Mm. Last November, you billed us $13.98 for a collect call from Cuba. Now, every month, I have called to complain. But we don't even know anybody in Cuba. Who doesn't know anybody in Cuba these days, much less anybody who would call us collect? Yes, collect. $13.98. Did we what?
Listen, when you get off that phone, I'm calling the dry cleaners.
Look.
Boy, my new brown suit.
Now, look, Mr. Dooley.
They never did find my flat jacket.
Now, I don't care about checking and rechecking again with your overseas office. Somebody there must be an idiot. Because the only person we've ever even heard of in Cuba is Castro, and I don't think he'd call us. Let alone call us collect. And I am just...
Let me have the phone. Let me have the phone, sweetheart.
Take the phone company. I'm going to buy some carrier pigeons.
Hello? Let me talk to the manager, please. Yeah, well, I'll thank you to interrupt this conference. Yes, I'll hold on.
The following is a paid dramatization.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, thanks very much, sir. We just knew nobody had called us collect from Cuba. And no, mistakes do happen, yeah. Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Why do you want to bet it's on our bill next month?
No, no, the manager was very nice. He's going to take care of it. Always go straight to the top, honey.
Well, I'm sorry to get so upset. I've just really had such an awful day with all these bills and things. I haven't even thought of dinner.
Oh, forget dinner. Here, wait a minute. Let me take you out. You need to relax. I get a dozen things like this at the office every day, but I have to learn to force myself to stay calm.
Yes, I suppose. Well, you want to get the door? I'll go upstairs and take out my curlers and get dressed up. It'll be nice to eat out.
Bastards.
That's right.
You want to snipe right here?
Sure. Well, what's it for?
I don't know. Let me see the slip here. Rotisserie.
Rotisserie?
Yeah, you know, you cook meat on them, the meat goes around and around, you know.
Yeah, I know what a rotisserie is, but we've got one. Hey, honey, did you order a rotisserie?
No, we have one, dear.
That's right. No, you have to have the wrong address.
Well, says Baxter here, bittersweet lane. Oh, yeah, it's my gift. I guess somebody's giving you one.
Why?
Well, what it says, gift from the Bradley, Mr. and Mrs. Gerald Bradley. As a matter of fact...
No. I ordered a rotisserie to be sent to the Bradleys for their 25th wedding anniversary. Didn't you people send it out to them? That was 2 weeks ago.
Well, I don't know nothing about it. I mean, I just delivered.
Now, look, here.
What's the matter, dear?
Oh, it's the rotisserie I ordered sent to the boss. Now they send it out here.
Yeah, two of them.
What do you mean, two of them?
I got two rotisseries here to deliver.
Why would they send it out here, dear?
I don't know. And their anniversary was 2 weeks ago. No, three weeks ago. I wondered why the boss hadn't said anything. What do you mean you have two rotisseries?
That's what I got. These two big boxes. Two of them. And it says right here... Two rotisserie.
Now, why would you order two rotisseries?
But I didn't. When the boss hadn't mentioned getting it, I called the department store and asked them about it, and they said it had been sent out, and I said, make sure.
Well, I don't think they got it because Mrs. Bradley's a stickler for thanking him.
So now we get two rotisseries delivered, and the Bradleys got nothing for their anniversary 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, I'm real sorry. You know, it's not my fault. If you want to call the store.
Yeah, I certainly will call the store.
Here, it's not the delivery man's fault.
All right. Just take them back, and I'll call tomorrow.
I can't take them back.
What do you mean you can't take them back?
That's a pickup. I just deliver. I mean, to pick up, you got to call a store. You just ask for pickup.
Yeah, but you're here. For Pete's sake, all you have to do is put them back.
I got to have a pink pickup slip.
Well, I don't want these two big boxes in my front hall. They're huge. When will they be picked up?
Well, let me see. It'll be next week now. Yeah, pickups once a week on Monday. So should I just set them in here?
Now, look here. For 15 years or more, we have been steady customers of your department store, and I do not intend...
Yeah, look, if you just call tomorrow and ask for pickup...
I'm going to call tomorrow and ask for more than pickup.
Right now, before they close, you'd better call the dry cleaners about losing your brown suit.
Well, what's their number?
623-3434.
I'm real sorry about this, Mrs. Baxter. You know, I go through this a dozen times a day.
Well,
I delivered a four-poster bedstead the other day. I had to leave it in the front hall. The poor woman got hysterical. Said all she'd ordered had been a bedspread. I nearly cried myself.
Yes, well, I know.
It was
For the manager.
Dear.
Well, I don't care if he is sick. I'm sick about your losing my brown suit.
I'm getting dinner, dear. I think we better stay home in the mood you're in.
Now, don't give me that jazz about computers and inexperienced help. When I send a suit to you, a new suit, I expect you to...
Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden was written by Peg Lynch and directed by Warren Somerville and has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. I'm Charles Woods. This is the Serial Network.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
If I had a nickel for every minute I spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
You talked to Angela about moving in here while I'm in the hospital?
Darling, I said she volunteered.
Well, Angela may be willing, but I'm not.
Well, would you rather we hired a stranger to take care of the children?
Why do you even bother to ask me? Suddenly, I don't seem to be running my own life anymore.
Emily, that's not true. The only thing we want...
There it is again. What you all want. When the oven alarm goes off, pull the dinner out.
Aren't you coming down?
I don't know. Right now, I'm going to lie down until my head stops splitting. Oh, and it is going to stop. I know it is. Oh, why am I hearing it now? It can't be a record when not in a restaurant. It's not here. It's the headache. Oh, oh. Jason! Jason, make it stop! Oh, please, make it stop!
Em, darling, what is it?
Oh, dear God, I can't stand it.
Oh, what's wrong, darling?
I don't know.
Is it your headache? Here, sit down. Come on now.
I think I'm going to be all right now. I was just frightened, that's all.
Frightened of what?
There was that sound again. But this time, I know it wasn't one of Bobby's records. Oh, Jason, it didn't sound like anything I've ever heard.
Were you lying down?
I lay down for a few seconds, but then I got up.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer!
What is it?
Honey, would you get my black bag out of the hall closet and bring it upstairs, please?
Okay.
Now, darling, have you had any medication at all today?
No, nothing. It's gone now, Jason. I'm all right, really.
Well, you do feel a little clammy, honey.
Oh, I was frightened. The noise was frightening. Why do you want your bag?
Oh, I just want to check your blood pressure.
For a headache?
Well, a sudden rise could cause the tinnitus.
Is that what I had?
Well, that's the medical name for hearing sounds that aren't there.
Oh.
Here you are. Is Mommy all right?
Oh. I'm fine, darling.
Then how come you yelled for Daddy?
Jennifer, honey, why don't you go downstairs and I'll be down in a few minutes, huh?
Okay.
Now, if you'll just be quiet for a few seconds, I'll break all the rules and tell you the results.
Well?
It's only slightly elevated, darling. Do you have any other pain?
No, I don't even have a headache anymore. It left just as fast as it came.
Mm-hmm.
I'm perfectly all right now, Jason.
Yeah, well, still, I'd like to have Marshall have a look at you. He might want to run a few tests.
At 6 o'clock at night?
Well, in the hospital, you'd be under constant supervision in case this happens again.
If I promise to rest for the entire weekend, will you settle for that? I really don't think it's serious enough to move into the hospital ahead of time.
Will you let Angela take Jennifer?
If she's able to,
good,
yes.
Good. Now you get undressed and start getting used to the idea of lying down for the next 24 hours.
All right, darling. Thanks for coming to my rescue.
I'll be back after I talk to Angela.
Daddy?
Mm-hmm.
What's the matter with Mommy?
Oh, she just isn't feeling very well, honey.
I know. But why is she screaming?
Well, you see, Mommy was sort of having a nightmare.
In the daytime?
Well, sometimes people have nightmares when they're awake, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And the ones that come in the daylight can be just as frightening as the ones that come in the dark.
I know, honey. I'll get some tomorrow.
You know, you've got the prettiest sheets.
I'm glad you like them, darling. Oh, and here's the giant pillow.
It feels cool. Just like the sheets. Mine at home are yucky. Imagine a person my age still sleeping on Raggedy Ann sheets.
Do you want to kneel and say your prayers before I tuck you in?
No, I just say thank you in my head. I save a lot of corn getting out of bed that way. If I forget something.
Good night, darling. Sleep well.
Can you sit down for a minute, Annie Angela?
Of course. What is it, Jennifer?
Do you ever have nightmares?
Sometimes. I certainly would if I ate as much pizza as you did tonight.
Do you ever have daymares?
I just don't think there is such a word.
Yes, there is. I looked it up in the dictionary.
Oh?
It's a bad dream, only you're awake. Mommy had an awful one. She was crying and everything.
Well, maybe after she goes to the hospital and has a nice rest, the headaches will go away and she won't cry anymore.
I hope they will.
We all do, honey.
Maybe the hospital can fix it so she's not so grouchy anymore.
Oh, come on. I don't think your mother's grouchy.
Yes, she is. Just yesterday, I was late coming home for lunch. Mommy was really mad.
Well, darling, she was worried about you.
Are you going to stay with us the whole time she's in the hospital?
Mm-hmm. But it'll just be for a few days.
We'll still have fun, won't we?
Well, of course we will. Now go to sleep.
Aunt Angela?
Young lady.
I love you.
I love you.
I wish you could stay with us forever.
Just a second. Marshall.
Hi, may I come in?
Of course. What is all this?
Well, I was afraid you'd say no if I called first, so I took the liberty of inviting myself to dinner. And that is the dinner.
How many did you invite? Looks like enough for a banquet for 12.
Well, Jennifer and I are the only guests I know of. Now, I don't know how much she eats, but if she's anything like Betsy was at her age, she can do justice to a steak.
She's already meted out justice to an entire pizza.
Oh, I hope you didn't join her.
No, it was all I could do to watch. As a matter of fact, I was just about to fix myself an omelet.
Omelets are for Sunday brunches. Besides, they're even higher in cholesterol than steak.
Oh, I'll jot that down, Dr. Forster.
Good.
Shall we put your contribution in the kitchen?
Just show me the way.
You're practically standing in it. If I pull down the table, it's also the dining room.
Oh, I see. You don't mind, do you, Angela?
I'm delighted.
I don't know why I didn't think of it when you phoned me, but... Oh, well. Now, you think you can master one of these? Or is it mistress? You know, women are so touchy these days. Well, anyway, we also have asparagus, fresh tomatoes. Oh, you can make the salad. And a bottle of Chianti. Let me see. Did I forget anything?
Only the drink for the chef. Is a martini all right?
Oh, just what I need.
I'll make it. You're just what I need, Marsh.
Oh, well, thanks. I thought you might be able to use some company. You know, I had a picture of you sitting, worrying, with no one to talk to but Jennifer.
You know, any other time, I'd be delighted to have her here. It's just so difficult to conceal concern from a child.
Mm. And we're all concerned, Angela. I wish I'd been so a little earlier.
Oh, well, that doesn't matter now. The only thing that's important is to find out what's wrong with Emily and help her.
Well, the whole purpose of our having dinner tonight was for me to give you an explanation, Angela.
Well, Marsh, you don't owe me one.
I think I do. You see, when you told me about Emily's symptoms, they didn't seem particularly alarming. I mean, at least they didn't seem to warrant a battery of tests. I mean, you know how exhausting a complete neurological workup can be.
Yes, I certainly do.
Now, neither Emily nor Jason had even asked me for an opinion. If they had, I probably wouldn't have said that the situation was serious.
And, what would you say now?
After yesterday's episode, I don't have the slightest doubt.
To Hold has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This is the Serial Network, a division of DCA Productions.